thank you so much, BBS Radio, for making this possible for us to be heard worldwide over the internet. Good evening, everyone, on this Monday, the 13th day of January in 2020. Another Monday evening episode, a wild card with Winfrey, located in Sedona, Arizona. So we will see what we will talk about tonight. As usual, this is a simulcast with a conference call. And we had another person join in. I heard a ding. Welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Grandma White Dog in Idaho.
Hello, Grandma White Dog. Good evening.
Hi,
and welcome. Dog.
Hi, everybody.
All right. And after this one-hour show, we will move over to a different conference call, which is our daily Whole Planet Healing Call, only per phone. I welcome the next caller here. Thank you for being here. Please say name and location.
Hey, hi. It's Jere in Finland. Hey, everybody.
Jere from Finland. Welcome.
Thank you. Hey.
All right. And I welcome those that are joining in through BBS Radio. Thank you for participating. And like I just mentioned, the Whole Planet Healing Call, you can participate by phone. The phone number is 712-770-4340. The access code is 250-513-POUND. I give the number one more time, 712-770-4340. Access code 250-513-POUND. And you can find this information also at the website wholeplanethealing.com. Good evening. Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Yes. Hi. It's Jane in Pennsylvania. Hello. Hi.
Good evening, Jane.
Hi, Jane.
And welcome.
Hi, everybody.
And
hi.
The next caller, welcome to you. Please say your name and location.
Yeah, this is Barb.
Welcome to you, Barb.
Hi, Barb.
Hi.
Hi, Barb.
Hi.
And the next caller, welcome. Please say name and location.
It's Chris in Memphis.
Good evening, Chris. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. Thanks.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys.
All right. Welcome. If you just joined in online through BBS, we cannot hear you. We cannot see you. We welcome you. When a caller comes in live on the call, then we hear a ding, which enables us to welcome them. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Welcome.
Hi, Roger.
Roger.
Hi, Roger.
Hi, Roger. Hi, everybody.
All right. And we wait for Wynn to be here momentarily.
Uh-oh.
I hear it. Uh-oh. And if you are feeling lonely, just say hi to yourself.
Was Lauren on the line with you, Heis, before I came, or who was here?
That is correct.
Okay, hi, Lauren. I wasn't sure from your voice, but hello.
You might be muted.
This is a rare occasion, but it's so hard.
It is. Yeah, I'm super glad that we have this group getting together.
Everybody hear about the volcano in the Philippines?
I have not heard about it. We did have another person join in. Good evening to you. Welcome. Please share name and location. And the next caller, welcome to you. Please share name and location.
Hi, hi, Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Welcome,
hi, Don.
Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi, everybody.
What were you saying? Another person joined in. Welcome to you. Please share name and location.
Hi, hi, so it's Mary Eileen in Cincinnati.
Welcome, Mary Eileen.
Hi, Mary Eileen.
Hi, Mary Eileen.
Well, Roger, you were wondering, or do you have an update for us?
Yeah, I saw in the news a tall volcano about 40 miles south of Manila erupted today, a fairly major eruption.
Mm-hmm.
And they evacuated, 40 or 50,000 people because of it.
Oh, wow.
It's one of the most dangerous volcanoes in the world.
All right.
Wow.
Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
It's Wynn in Sedona.
Welcome, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hello,
Wynn.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, Lake volcano, the original caldera is about 20 miles across.
Wow.
And a lake formed in the caldera, and the volcano erupted and formed an island in the middle of the caldera, or in the middle of the lake, and it's been there for several hundred years, but it blew up today, or yesterday.
That's something definitely to put in the light.
Yes.
Jerry?
Yeah?
Jerry?
Jerry.
Sorry, I got a question for you to ask on Wednesday.
All right. What is it?
Was I a dinosaur in my past life that managed to get into a body?
That would be a good question to ask.
I mean, it's very unusual that you've asked them, why do I have such an interest in the welfare of dinosaurs, okay, on the other side? I'm serious because, you know, as I understand it, the other side has got a big mess on some areas of it, okay? You know, you have people still recovering from explosions and whatever. What does that sound?
Come to your girlfriend, Tom.
Only if you want to.
Yeah, that sounds, I think I could ask. Well, it was definitely that I heard that they were left out and they were feeling so bad that I was like, oh, that they need love and they need care.
Well, it's very sweet of you, and I'm sure it's all God's creatures. So, I mean, it's great that you're their advocate down here.
Well, it's nice to help whenever possible, whoever or whatever it is.
Did you say that we met in 2010 at the Conscious Life Expo?
Yeah, I came and we changed a few words. I think you had a booth or maybe something like that. I
might have, yeah. Did I give a talk? Did you come to my talk?
No, I didn't. I wasn't at your talk. Mm-hmm. If you had one, I'm not sure if you had.
Now, did anyone just come into the line?
Nope. No one after you.
Mm-hmm. Is Lauren here?
I know he is. No.
Pardon me? No?
No, I'm not.
Hey, Terry. I hear you.
Hi. Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry. Hi, Lauren. Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Well, Lauren, I was thinking of interviewing you today.
Oh, okay.
It might seem like a short notice, but good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Dharmananda.
Dharmananda, good evening. Welcome.
Well, hi.
Hey, Dharmananda.
Dharmananda.
Hey.
So, Dharmananda.
Yes.
I used to be living in the same town where the BBS studio is located, but now you live in the same town as
no,
where
they live. They're in Walnut Creek.
Mm-hmm. Oh wait, now wait! You're in Walnut Creek. No, they're in Boulder Creek. I'm at the wrong creek.
No, Boulder Creek. No, they're in Lafayette. They're in Lafayette.
Lafayette. Okay.
Boulder Creek is Santa Cruz. Okay.
Is that right? The phone number, the phone is in Boulder Creek.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, I take it back.
Okay. Well, hello to everybody on BBS. Oh, are we no, we're not recording yet.
No. Good evening. Welcome to the call, please. Say your name and location. Or just a giggle, it's fine.
I'm in my car, so I can't say anything.
Okay, Helen, welcome, honey.
Thank you.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, Giggles.
Hello, Helen.
Hi.
All right, then. I'm
driving right now, so I love you all. No,
leave everybody open for a moment.
Okay. Keep the things going. You want to start the recording?
I'll start the recording and do the dings.
So we are also the dings. It's the 13th today.
The recording has started.
This is January 13th, 2020. Wynn and Terry in Sedona and everybody online. And why do we keep having that sound?
Everyone of those signifies an earthquake, but I'm going to mute.
I was about to go after Jennifer. I thought her grandfather clock was getting overactive.
No, there's been a whole bunch of earthquakes right now.
Mute the earthquake.
Yeah.
I'll mute.
Okay. Well, our Monday call is our wild card call, and for the past few weeks on Monday, we have been having discussions kind of on the Sunday call, because we're getting such amazing both information and maybe I could say guidance or certain principles. And I thought the call was on co-creation was pretty good. And I want to ask you, how many of you believe you've experienced co-creation?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's Lauren, right?
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Isn't everything co-creation?
Yeah.
Yes, everything is co-creation.
Yeah.
But the conscious mind can separate you from the flow.
Recognizing, right?
Yeah. And not everything is, I mean, on the human personality level, I made a distinction between co-creation and cooperation, okay? A big distinction. And do you guys understand the difference between co-creation and cooperation?
Yeah.
You do. What's that? I think I hear somebody talking, but I'm not sure.
It was a background sound, apparently.
Recording of some sort.
Background sounds. Well, I might just have to interview Lauren, because he's the only one that understands this stuff at a conscious level, at least is admitting it. Anyone else?
Really?
I'll just say a quick yes, and that's it.
Who is that? Chris?
Yeah.
You understand the difference in cooperation and co-creation?
I do, and it's more like experience. You know, I kind of learned to grow into it. You know, without consciously kind of knowing it, it just kind of happened when I, you know, I won't say too much, but it was kind of an experience. You know, and now I recognize it, and you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there we go.
Terry, do you understand the difference between co-creation and cooperation?
Yes, I do.
Well,
yes.
Why don't you tell everybody what you experienced?
Oh, I knew you'd say that. It's dangerous to admit anything.
You got to cooperate now.
No one will ever admit anything anymore, right?
Well, cooperation is when there's two separate individuals and they work together and each contributes something to the whole one of them will come up with something and the other one will go along and support it. But co-creation is when both parties are feeding energy into it and doing the creation together of the final product.
I think that's true, but I don't think people understood it.
Oh.
What I was thinking, actually.
Well,
Lauren.
Acting, you can have several beings acting as one. In other words, what comes into creation is the consequence of each individual involved in its entirety. For instance, if several beings are creating this ball, the ball that actually comes into creation is the direct consequence of each of the individuals involved, and it's in its entirety. In other words, it's not some other identity or a mesh over between two different identities. The ball itself, you know. It's the direct result of each of the participants involved as their creation, as their own creation. It happens simultaneously.
That's good. That's getting closer to it. And most of you have not had that experience, right? Nobody's ever going to say anything because they say, if I say anything, I'm going to get in trouble.
I'd love to have that experience, and I feel like I'm missing out on it.
In another way here, I mean, if you look at the wall in front of you, that sort of thing, and everything that's on that wall, et cetera, and not necessarily on a conscious level, but it can become conscious where you're aware of you creating that. But you're not alone. There is it can be a multitude of others that are experiencing the same thing, the actuality of it. The reality and the actuality of that law the way it is.
Lauren, is your headset on properly?
Yeah.
How close is
that better?
That's better, yeah.
Okay.
So
you can distinguish this by just like look at the wall in front of you and perceive into it, you know, the beingness of the wall itself. No, it's alive. It's existing. And you get the fact that at some point or along the line there that it's like you're creating it, but you're not alone. You're not the only one creating it. And you can actually get that. The other participants involved, not necessarily all of them, but you know, become consciously aware that, gosh, there's other beings here, and this wall itself is the product of our creation. Period. It's not the same thing as imagining that. It's your creation. It's the actuality of it, and that you aren't alone in the creation of that wall. The way it is.
Now let's see if anyone understood that.
So are you saying the wall? Is the wall a co-creation or a cooperation?
No, it's a co-creation. If it were a cooperation, it would be like it'd be kind of like a mushy. You wouldn't be able to perceive the wall the way it is. It'd be something in your own imagination or somebody else's imagination, and like people experiencing a delusion, for instance. The delusion is their creation, but it's not necessarily a composite. Creation of all the beings involved. It's just an individual, and you can get, for instance, discern your awareness of what you're creating with what's actually in co-creation. The co-creation is the actual reality, the actuality of something.
You know,
there's an expression. There's a little, put it in a little bit different way. There's a little Buddhist story, all right? And it's like this Buddhist monk is walking up this path in the foothills of the Himalayan mountains, okay? And he notices this coming up through the saddle above him, walking down the same path, this Buddhist priest. And the Buddhist monk is going, oh my gosh, a Buddhist priest, you know? and as they get closer, the Buddhist monk says to the priest, that rock there, on the path there, just on the side of the path there, is that rock there because it's actually there or because I'm creating it? And the Buddhist priest, without hesitation, as he passes, goes to the rock, picks it up, throws it at the Buddhist monk, conks him right between the eyes, knocks him out, he falls flat on the floor, and continues on the path on the way down. So what's the moral to the story? you know, both are true. Both are true. It's not one or the other. Both are true.
You know, I would like to point out that when we are on this call, how many of you notice energy in the spaces?
Yeah.
Anyone else? I'm sure you do.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, when you're all by yourself, and you look at the space of how it feels to be by yourself, usually, you know, most people, not all people, but I would say many people, their minds will be chattering, right? They will feel lonely, like they need some distraction. You know, whatever. They get focused on, there's more of a tendency to get focused on lack, when you're by yourself. Could you guys agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And when we're on this call and there's space, who's making all that noise? Jeez. Thank you. Oh, I should have known. when you're on this call, there is not the same feeling of lack than when you're by yourself. Okay? That doesn't mean you're always feeling lack when you're by yourself. But there's more of a tendency to feel lack when you're by yourself. And does that make sense? Can you guys relate to that?
Good way to put it.
Anyone else?
Yes,
thank you. I do think you experience it. I think so. Now, where is the energy coming from in the space? When I'm not talking, when nobody's talking. Somebody had to talk, didn't they? Okay. where is the energy? That energy, now I'm just going to suggest this, is what I think. Is the energy of all our energies co-creating. And it's an energy, even though you're not saying anything, we're not cooperating. There's an energy. And of course, on this call, within that energy, there could be celestial frequencies, the Elohim frequencies, the Ra frequencies, because it's space. But it's not empty space. It's empty physical space. In other words, there's nothing physically in the space. But there's something going on. And I would say that is the energy, or one aspect of the energy of co-creation. And if I could get you guys to talk more, did you know, somebody once said, people are more scared of public speaking than they are of dying. Did you ever hear that?
Mm-hmm.
It's probably true. Yeah. Lauren, what do you think of my explanation of co-creation in space?
I like it. The energy itself is the space and the energy are the co-creation.
Yes.
It's not like you. It's not like energy is a thing unto itself. It wouldn't exist if it weren't being created. If we're not consciously creating it.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, the space itself. So, and there's a life to that. There's life to that that space and the energy itself. Fundamental mm-hmm. energy is just energy, but the life to it is well, we bring it into being. So I can see that distinction. Seeing it is not necessarily maybe the right word, but it's like the awareness of that, the awareness of the life there, and the work in the life of energy, the life of space. That that is itself is a co-creation. So yeah.
Did you say we consciously create the energy?
Not necessarily.
I didn't think so. I thought you said that though, but it doesn't seem like it.
When you're consciously aware of it, then you're in direct contact of what your actual participation. Up to that point, it's like we've been on automatic so long. And a song and dance and stuff like that, that none of this is our creation. You know, we come to believe it, falsely believe it. And belief is not the same thing as what's actual. So it's a substitute for actuality. So at the point where we're going, I'm aware of the space itself being conscious, and the space itself being alive, and the energy of that space is alive and conscious. Then all of a sudden, at that point, it's going, oh my gosh, now I'm consciously aware of what I'm creating. My participation in it that can then come to the fold, but up to that point, it's like it's kind of like it's happening, but you don't, and you can assign causation to something else, someone else, or so God's creating it. You know, hey, we're all creating it.
Could I assume from what you're saying that you would then be able to influence the creation when you get it out of the unconsciousness and bring it conscious, and then you would be able to influence for an outcome you were interested in?
Yes. So long as you have everybody's participation.
How do you know who everybody is? I mean, there's, according to what Terry's channeling recently, like to create a body, this massive co-creation going on between DNA cells, all sorts of stuff going on you could never consciously control.
You could learn to direct that energy in some way, affect in the quantum field. That's a very quick.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it, the quantum field.
Hey, Lynn?
Yes. Terry?
When you were, a long time ago when we were channeling and they were talking about creation and they were saying, somebody would create, something, a vision or an energy or something, and then it would disappear. And so they had to co-create with more than one person to get persistence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was the physical universe, too, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's actually, it's concurrent with any universe, that's to my knowledge. For something to persist, it has to be a co-creation.
Right. And that goes back to what the sources were saying recently when they were talking about that they could turn on their magic glasses and they could look at anything and it would have a formula, an integral formula written on it, which would be putting together all of the inputs of all of the holograms and then integrating them into a final result.
And if we want to influence that, what then? What do we do? So I was trying to guide a conversation to the other day about, you know, like in Wynn's book about the creator guides. It says we're all familiar with the idea of the Elohim and Ra groups. We're asking, you know, they're sending light, love, light, energy, and all that kind of thing. So my question is, how do we get them involved in helping us, or should we, or?
Your intention has a big result on the final product of something concerning you.
So we have that formula of intention, vision, persistence. Should that be the limit of our? You need to have some like conscious direction, it seems to me. If you want a certain thing, you have to consciously direct it there. You know, you have to consciously direct your intention, vision, and persistence to that. But I'm also familiar with the idea of, they say, consciously, you should, if you want something to happen, you should pick the what and the why and leave the how and the when up to like the sources or greater power or something.
Well, I would think that you could do the how and the when, but if all of the things change, then you've got it right then. Because it's
okay,
created in the now.
You know, as we all know, anybody's trying to manifest something. It's probably experienced frustration and having not getting the result they want. You know, I'm trying to see if I can know that.
Yeah, that kind of goes against. Yeah, it kind of goes against. You set your intention, and then it's for your highest good, and you focus on directly on what you want. That's how I do it. Or write it down and put it.
There's probably more than one way to do this. Okay, and in fact, you're probably always doing it without realizing it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like. You know, one way of doing it is flow. You tap into the flow, and then you stand more chance of doing something. Because there's a flow always going on, an energy flow. We're all in that flow, and we're co-creating that flow, whether you know it or not. You are, as long as you're doing anything.
Uh-huh.
And
it's like your experiences when you were hitchhiking, you were in the flow and you're having all those synchronicities, but I don't think you were consciously guiding it for a certain way or anything. You were just letting it happen. But
no, but say for example, if I write a song, I would write a song and I think I was approaching channeling when I was writing the song.
Yep.
I remember in one of my dream messages, the Ra group said, "We tried to contact you." and I think they were interfacing when I was writing. And then, you know,
I remember when you were writing, and they would come through and they would talk to me and give me certain tips on how to proceed.
May I see something here that might be of help?
Go ahead.
What?
Yeah. When you're the co-creation is part of it, and your contribution, whatever have you, is it? It's an actualization. In other words, it's not thinking about, it's not wanting, it's not desiring, it's not reflecting on, it's the act of doing. Uh-huh. It's the actualization of it. So when he's talking about when he was writing, when he was the act of writing itself, expressing himself there, that's a co-creation.
Uh-huh.
Right.
That's a creation, and it's also a co-creation. If he is subliminally or consciously aware of not being the only participant in this audience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then
it's
once
the actualization.
Once you create something like that, you know, when I originally started writing, I said, oh my God, I'm not going to touch it. It came out perfect. Except when I looked at it, it wasn't perfect. So it was like tuning in to the way someone was going to respond to it and realize there was a glitch and then adjust it slightly. And that was a creative process as well. You know, to be able to take something you create, even a website, anything, and then tune in to other people and the collective and say, you know, I'm getting better at it on certain things. But to be able to kind of take a raw form and then chisel it like a sculpture, you know, till it gets to be more perfect.
If I can bring back to something that I don't think is getting answered, is what about the Elohim? Does the Elohim have a role? If they're sending their love light to us or whatever, are they playing a role in co-creating if we're trying to manifest something? I mean, does Elohim play?
They can. If somebody doesn't want it or, you know, wouldn't like it, it's like they don't participate. But, like, if they see somebody's light and they check it out and they can come in and they can help.
I think when you... Our spirit to something that's more mutual, it's more of a mutual creation. Simultaneously. It's like when we're all on the same page together. We're not thinking about it, we're just doing it.
Yeah.
See, I think the Elohim can come into your flow. And keep in mind, there's the law of one. So at the higher level, you're the Elohim. They're us. And as we approach flow, they can come in and they will give more, you know, more power to the flow. They say that in so many words. It's just how you look at it. You know, if you think of them as something separate from you, it's harder.
Much harder.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with what's been channeled on that about what you want might not be like what you agreed to come down here for, or might not actually be for your greater good, and if you're getting where you're stuck, I forget the phrase, but...
Well, personally, I think when you start thinking what you agreed to come down here for, I would throw that away, okay? Yes, you may have agreed to come down here for a certain reason, but once you're here, and whatever happens to you here can change everything, because you're recreating yourself all the time. So you're not bound by what your original thing was to come down here, or I'm supposed to learn this, or I'm supposed to learn that. Believe me, I didn't know. There's no way on the other side, when I took a body, that I could know what I'm doing now, okay? Because there had to be too many little things fall into place, and me to be extremely curious, like a detective, I could have dismissed it as a phenomena. I could have taken it in a different way, but I didn't. And,
but you could say that that's just the universe doing its thing and getting you into the position to do what you were coming down here for. I don't know how you could ever know that or not know it.
I don't think I would say that, okay? I mean, I think maybe something else would have happened eventually, but...
You can take an active role or a passive role.
Yeah. I mean, when things started... When things started happening, I took an active role on it, okay? I took... And, you know, I could have just said, well, let's just do another channeling and see what the Elohim say. But, I mean, I had the inner experience from past lifetimes that it provoked me. But to create the circumstances of the provocation... I had to do some really random things, right? That I wasn't even sure I wanted to do them most of the time. You know, I had conflict. You know how you'd be on a pinnacle and you say this way, that way, and finally you go that way. And you could have gone either way, you know? I mean, there's days that I say, I don't feel like going out today. And I go out and something happens, okay? And other days, I don't go out. I'm probably missing things. It's like, it's not so controlled. This is the big deal. Everyone wants to control it. And I can't control it, you know?
I don't know that we want to control it necessarily, but maybe direct, guide it, or get it going in a certain direction. Not necessarily control all the details or anything, but
an
outcome, you know.
You know, if you just have the intention, let this day be the highest day possible. Let all those things come to me that I can influence and can influence me in a positive way. Help me find my highest role of contributing to this realm, you know.
I think it would fall into Lauren's passive side versus an active side. Either way could be completely fulfilling.
But you still have to be active to do those things, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the hardest things about synchronicities is...
That's the term, synchronicity here.
Yeah, the hardest thing about synchronicity is when you have a synchronicity, having the wherewithal to know what to do with it, okay? You can notice it, but then, you know, certain synchronicities...
If you're not paying attention, you can even miss synchronicities, though, I would say.
You could, absolutely. How many of you ever had this situation? Now, let me just see. You were thinking, I really want somebody to love in my life. I want something. And that day, you go out, and somebody presents themselves to you, and you know you could start a relationship with them, and you don't do it because it was too easy. You said, it can't be this easy. It's got to be hard. How many of you ever had that experience?
No.
Yes.
You had that, Heis?
And not realizing it until like half a year later or something, how easy this beautiful thing was for me to get.
Yeah. And you know, if you don't grab it in the moment, it's very hard to come back to it, but there's something that makes you think you can come back to it. But when you come back to it, the energy's not the same. You have to capture it in the moment and
roll with it.
roll with it. Exactly, exactly. Terry has seen me do that. Terry, have you seen me do that?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you take the moment.
Right. Right. I mean, you know, like this guy Unmesh, who I met in the AMPM, and then you know we got together, the three of us, and he'll probably work with us in some way sooner or later. We'll work with him. Who knows? But he was a beautiful guy, and instead of just going into the AMPM and paying for my gas, I looked at him and I said, where do you come from? And then he turns out, you know, he's been studying yoga and he's really advanced soul.
Yeah, he really is.
And I could relate to him. I could relate to him as an equal. You know, maybe he might be superior to me, you know, in some ways. I think he probably is. But, you know, it was... a level of equality that, you know, I made it a point to pursue it, you know?
Sydney, I've got another point or idea I'd like to direct this conversation to. Is here on the calls, and the Whole Planet Healing calls, we're trying to co-create the people on the call, I assume, and calling in Elohim and stuff. How does this all apply to what we're trying to do?
Well, it's just another aspect of it, okay? And
call it an exercise.
I mean, I noticed something on Whole Planet Healing, and I am sure this is true, if I can express it. And that is, it needs to keep having new people. It's like when we're together too long, all of us, we get into a
rut.
And when there's one or two new people on the line, it their frequencies come in, and how would I say it? They stimulate the energy. Just one or two people, okay? And, you know, the rut is comfortable. We all get into comfortable ruts. And it's comfortable, but it doesn't have the same energy if there's someone new on the line. Even with the Elohim, when we first started talking to them, and we all noticed this bump in the energy that would come in, and it would be distinctive bump. How many of you noticed that, the bump?
I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that...
A change.
Even
just a bump, but a change.
Well, a change, a shift, right?
And a bump, I guess.
It's kind of like a shift in a shift of viewpoint. The flavor changes. The shift of viewpoint and point of view on something changes as other participants enter in the picture and synchronicity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I noticed that there's definite changes that I cause, like they try and relay something to me and I just don't get it, and so then they table it, you know, until they can fill me in enough that I can get it, and then they bring it out again.
Good. Yeah.
Well,
I noticed when I get feedback, you know, from the Elohim, when Terry's reflecting something back, you know, channeling it, and I read it between the lines too, where I'm going direct, and I'm going, oh, Yeah, that's right. Taking it from a different viewpoint, and it's like, yes, it's kind of like this. I was aware of it, and even though I may have said something, the response it indicates that we are on the same page. But what I may have said was maybe not the way they would say it.
Right.
An analogy I like to make is the difference between having two eyes. When you have one eye, you can understand something, but when you have two eyes, it gives you depth perception, which is one thing I like about having, like, Wynn and Terry and you comment on the same topic, but it's all from slightly different. It gives you, like, a more of a depth perception, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good way to put it.
That is a very good way. And that was a co-creative comment, okay? It took a lot of pieces of data, and then suddenly came up, and it came up from your intuition. It didn't come up from your logical mind. You follow?
Right.
Because it's a perfect way to do it. And, you know, it takes a certain amount of flow and stimulation to keep the energies at the highest level, okay? And to keep our energies beating against each other. When our energies beat against each other, we are co-creating at a very high level and changing things external to us. And like, say, for example, on the Sunday call, when people put things into the light, from the way I intuitively grasp it, if you have an energy connection with someone and you put them into the light, the Elohim find them through you. They ride your energy, or they may go through me and then through you. And if you put strangers into the light, it may be a lot harder for them. I mean, maybe you can have an energy relationship with somebody that's famous. You can have tuned into their frequency. But
they can do it. I mean, but if you say, okay, Suzanne in Dallas, you know, and then they go, oh, well, you know, which Suzanne in Dallas? And they say something about them. Okay, that narrows it down, but still, which one? That they can, through the energy of the person that's putting that person in the light, or through the direct energy of the person on the line, they can go straight there.
Yeah.
You're about to go off the air.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's say goodbye to everybody. That ended up being an interesting call. Thank you, Lauren, for... it wasn't exactly an interview, but probably better than an interview, right?
Better than an interview, yeah.
Right, creation. That was co-creative. The whole call was an exercise in co-creation. And if you notice, at the end of the call here, the energy is shifted. Feel it? It shifted. We shifted the energy by going into co-creation. And now we're going to go into Whole Planet Healing and do more co-creation. And we're going to say goodbye to everybody on BBS. And I hope you guys start coming into our phone call sometimes. And then you can be part of our madness, okay? And if you want to come into BBS, to Whole Planet Healing, 712-770-4340, 250-513-PIN.
Or go to wholeplanethealing.com. Wholeplanethealing.com.
Is that working?
Also give them the alternative number.
I assume it is.
They're not going to write that down.
Okay.
Next week, we'll give the numbers earlier, okay? Thank you all for being here. Thanks to everyone that contributed. And even those of you that are listening, were contributing. because by contributing your attention, you are automatically going into some level of co-creation. So we'll see you
participating in it.
Yeah.
This session is no longer being recorded.